Let's talk a little bit about the secret space program, Richard. What's going on there? Tell me about some of your research into it.
Well, let me tell you first how I started to get into that research.
All right.
I didn't even think about it at all until, it was about 1981 or so. As I mentioned at the outset of this broadcast, I have previously staged nonviolent, peaceful demonstrations on nuclear missile silos. The first one was in Arkansas in 1981 when the Air Force used to have the huge city-busting Titan II nuclear missiles down there with the 3 and 4 megaton warheads on them. Well, I went over the fence onto one of those nuclear missile silos just north of Conway, Arkansas, and was jailed in the small town of Jacksonville, Arkansas, near Little Rock Air Force Base. While laying in jail one night, Robert Monroe spoke to me telepathically. And I believe Art Bell interviewed Robert Monroe a time or two or three. I'm not sure. Did you ever?
I never did. He passed on before I had a chance to get
okay. Him. Yeah, I think he died about in the late 1990s or so. Yeah. But anyway, I knew Robert Monroe slightly. I was a slight acquaintance of his outwardly. Inwardly, for whatever reason, from time to time, he would appear to me telepathically or in paranormal, out-of-body type states and do different things and tell me some amazing things. Why he did this, I don't know. So I did have some communication with Robert Monroe for whatever reason. And on this occasion, he downloaded some information to me telepathically, and he started out speaking to me as I was laying there in my cell in the middle of the night. And I thought, well, this is strange. Why is Robert Monroe talking to me? I didn't know why. I just let him go on. He began like he does on his tapes, which you can buy to this day, by saying, "Hello, this is Robert Monroe." And then he immediately launched into what he had to tell me. He said 30 years ago, when men first began to go into space, they discovered, and at that point I was thinking, okay, this is 1981, so 30 years ago is 1951. Now, we're told the first men went into space in about 1961. So he's now telling me the space program really began 10 years earlier. So he went on to say that there's a certain pronounced esoteric aspect of the manned space program that hasn't been revealed publicly, but which is evidently important. And it has to do with the fact that there's more to getting into space than just putting human beings in high-tech tomato cans and putting them on top of high-powered Roman candles and blasting them up into space. There's a certain the terminology he used was unusual. He used language frequently when he spoke to me. He would use the words that we all use in everyday discourse, but he would use them in novel ways, such that it was one of the most unusual ways of speaking that I've ever encountered. I would say it was neuro-linguistic programming, but far beyond that. To a whole different level. Anyway, the gist of it was that there's certain, for want of better words, it seemed to me, astrological aspects of going into space and spiritual aspects. In other words, there was a certain ceremonial, sacred side of space travel and of space faring that we're not told about publicly by NASA and the other space agencies. I think Richard Hoagland has latched on to part of this. I mean, you've interviewed Hoagland, and so did Art Bell, and he for years has been talking about this esoteric symbolism that keeps popping up again and again in NASA's decisions, not only of when to launch, but when they land their spacecraft or how they orbit and on and on. So some of it does leak through, and Richard Hoagland has detected some of it. Some of it has to do with ancient Egyptian mythology, religion and spirituality, and things like that. And it has a very heavy influence at NASA. Well, that's when I began to understand that there was a secret space program, because Bob Monroe told me so in a telepathic mind-to-mind communication. I could only speculate about his motivation, why Bob Monroe would tell me things like this. I don't know. I didn't know him well outwardly, but that's what happened. Well, I began to look into it in later years, in the 1990s, and I cover this topic in the Richard Sauter briefing, though I don't mention the Robert Monroe episode. What I've discovered is that just going from the public open record, without regard to any secret information, just from the public open record, already starting back in the 1950s, the Air Force, United States Air Force, had a program called Dinosaur. Now, Dinosaur was intended to put an astronaut, not one astronaut, but multiple astronauts up in space using Air Force rockets and capsules and astronauts. And Neil Armstrong was a dinosaur astronaut. In fact, Neil Armstrong came to NASA and switched over to the Gemini program in the 1960s. Actually, I think he came in, I think it was 61, 62, 63, somewhere through there. But he came in from the Air Force's dinosaur astronaut program. So Neil Armstrong was first in the Air Force's astronaut corps, and then switched from there to NASA's astronaut corps.
Did some of these people know about the secret space program? You know, we've got a friend, Richard Jerry Purnell, who's a science and science fiction writer, and he was intricately involved in a lot of these space shows, space stories at the time.
Yes.
Do you think many of the astronauts at the time, the Mercury astronauts, the Gemini astronauts, the Apollo astronauts, did they know about this secret program?
I don't know. What I can tell you is that when I was a young boy, I grew up in that part of Virginia where the Mercury astronauts trained, and of course some of them went on to be Gemini astronauts. And so my father actually knew some of them because he was a local news photographer, and would be sent out regularly on public affairs occasions to photograph them training or at publicity events. So we got to know them, the Mercury 7, on a first-name basis, and even knew where a number of them lived. And so they lived pretty nearby to my family home, and we would sometimes on Sunday drive by, and he would say, look, that's where, you know, Gus Grissom lives, this is where Alan Bean lives, et cetera. It was interesting. So I kind of grew up in that milieu in Tidewater, Virginia, not too far from Langley Air Force Base, where they were training at that time. And I think some of them probably knew. I think Neil Armstrong knows quite a bit. I think he knew a great deal already back in the 50s and knows even more now. And I wish Neil would tell us what he knows, because we paid for him to learn everything that he knows.